grand slam for Masters.
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Jenna Galloway. She's a thrower for the USC Trojans right there in Southern California. We'll talk about her career throwing the hammer, how she progressed to the D1 level doing that. And we'll also talk about her faith life, which is very important to Jenna. Jenna, thanks so much for joining us here on Blessed to Play.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here.
So I want to encourage our listeners to, go Google Jenna's name and then see her throwing the hammer. But Jenna, I have to ask you this. How do you not get dizzy when you're in the spin cycle throwing the hammer?
Classic question. To begin with, I did get dizzy a lot. My coach was like, yep, just look out in the mountains, look in the horizon, and everything will stop spinning. I'm like, wow, you've been here before. But with enough practice, enough throws, I stopped being dizzy, and it's just what I'm used to.
And that's for the safety of all, because if you're dizzy and you're throwing the hammer in a direction it's not supposed to go, it could get pretty dangerous. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
In fact, you told me off air that hammer throwing is in the state of California. It's not part of the high school field component of track and field, the shot put and discus. The javelin and the hammer, you can't throw in high school.
Right. Yeah. It's just not enough room, but also a little bit dangerous, especially for kids. 14 years old coming in, they don't know where it's going to go, and I could definitely lead to some injuries.
Well, it's such a unique discipline, and you excelled with the hammer in high school. You're a graduate of Santa Margarita High School in California, and you had a hammer thrower PR. I think it was 167 feet and 4 inches. You earned All-American honors by placing fourth at the 2023 Nike Outdoor Nationals in the hammer throw with a mark of 160 and 1. And that was in June. So you got the attention, the notice of Division I programs, and USC was one of them. And talk about how you decided to go compete for the Trojans.
Yes, it was a long journey, but it was also short considering it all happened, end of my junior year in high school, and then senior year of my high school is kind of where the recruiting process started and picked up. Nike Nationals was a huge meet. And so, yeah, that number really opened some doors. But also my independent coach had a lot of connections in the throws world. Mm-hmm. He's been doing it for a while, and so that really helped. But we were training at a junior college near my house, 15 minutes away, Saddleback Junior College. And then in the summer, he was the throws coach for the junior college. In the summer, he decided to quit and relocate to Wilmington, this throw site that actually USC Trojans we do use now, because our track out on campus is turf and it's multi-purpose. So as hammer throwers, specifically of the four throwing events, we break up the turf. And so we have to train off campus with real grass that can have divots in it. And so anyways, because of the overlap, I was training at Wilmington, and then I got the attention of the USC throws coach. And there's a lot of factors that went into it, including my parents actually went there. My dad played football there.
Oh, nice.
It was kind of like a legacy in terms of athletics. And then just, athletically and academically, very competitive, and I needed both. And so when I was offered to, compete for the Trojans and have my teammates be Olympians and my classmates be these amazing, CEOs or next big film producers or whatnot, I was like, I have to go.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, with chatting once again with Jenna Galloway. She's a thrower for USC in Southern California, throws the hammer. In fact, she's coming off her freshman campaign where she had a strong first season with the Trojans while competing in 6 outdoor meets. She had a hammer throw PR of 196 feet, 10 inches, placing third at the USC-UCLA dual meet. There is another university called UCLA in Southern California. Talk just about that rivalry and how it extends to the track and field competition.
Yeah, the rivalry goes way back. Crosstown of LA, Los Angeles, big city. And so it's every year for every sport, pretty much it goes, the rivalry goes pretty deep. And it's just of who runs LA. And ultimately each year it comes down to that. And so in track and field, it's everyone puts their best foot forward, and it's just the only dual meet that we have in the year. And it's a lot of pride in who wins.
Yeah, indeed. Well, let's talk about your preparation to become an elite athlete. And I know throwing the hammer, your the technical components of throwing it is part of your practice discipline, but it is a strength-based sport or discipline. Talk about how much work you have to put in the weight room, nutrition, everything that goes into making you the best you can be when throwing.
Yeah. So for throwing, that is correct. A lot of the other events in track only lift 3 times a week, but we have to lift 4. We almost lift as much as we throw. A lot of heavy loading in the preseason and in fall. And so it's just a progression of trying to get our numbers up in Olympic lifts and these extra accessory that work specifically for whatever throwing event you do. A lot of core, a lot of legs, just trying to produce a lot of power. And so a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of different exercises and workouts. There's so much, I can't even explain it, but usually it's 4 times a week for an hour and a half. And then for eating, you just got to make sure you have your 3 meals in, you get your protein after your workout. Nothing too specific. It's kind of attuned to you, but you definitely cannot miss a meal because there's a lot of power you need to produce, and that takes a lot of calories to be eating. So
now you were on the national scene, obviously in high school, competing in those national competitions. I mentioned the Nike Outdoor Nationals, and also you're on the national scene as well, competing in the NC2A preliminary rounds. That was last year, where you placed 11th in the hammer in the Pac-12 championships, which led to that berth in the NC2A event. Just talk about competing on a national level and how do you get the best out of yourself when you're competing at such a high level?
Yeah, great question. As the more you go up, the more it's just like, wow, there is a higher level. This is a lot more. There's people around me that you looked at, or you know their name, you know their marks, and it kind of gets intimidating. But once you get to the meet, it's like, these are just people too. These are people that have put in the same amount of work as me. These are people that I'm now on this level because I'm at this meet with them. So I've put in the work that is necessary for me to be here. And so then that kind of grounds me, allows me to just do what I do in practice, stay consistent to my mental game, the same thing I do every day, and just be confident that I earned my spot so that I can have that positive attitude and really want it and say, like, hammer throwing and track is really unique where mm-hmm. you know, you only get 3 throws. You only get one mm-hmm. shot in the running. You only get one time. So you really got to put your best foot forward, and you really can't be nervous to fail because there is no second try. Mm-hmm. So really just having that mentality, but also being confident in myself, knowing that I earned the spot that I'm in so that I can do my best.
Chatting with Jenna Galloway, she's a thrower on the USC track and field team. Now I'm thinking with team sports, obviously the coaching takes into consideration who they're competing against. There's different strategies. You're looking at the opponent's weaknesses, their strengths. But when you're throwing, it sounds like it's just about you and getting a PR or getting the most out of yourself. Is there any situation where you're actually focusing on the other competitors, or is it strictly you're locked in about how you're going to throw and that's what you're solely focused on?
I think that's unique depending on the person. You obviously want to know what's going on with the other competitors, but I personally think the best throw out of myself is going to come from just focusing on what I can do. Some people react to other competitors and say, oh, they just threw a bigger mark, I'm going to throw bigger. But usually for me, it's pretty consistent that my first throw is my best throw, and I just put it all out there, and there's nothing more I can do.
Well, what has been the most rewarding part of being a Division I athlete now that you're competing for the Trojans?
I think the most rewarding part is just the opportunity to be in the position that I am and be at such a high level. I think it's like, you know, at this point, my sophomore year, it's not like, oh, I got to prove it or, you know, got to show or earn anything. It's more, you know, this is where I'm at. And these people around me, like, are the same as me. Like, we're all on this intense level, and it's not the same as, you know, students that are just going to school for school. And so it's kind of rewarding to be able to be surrounded by this greatness and this excellence, like 24/7 in the dining hall, in the weight room, in the practice. And it's all these, just my friends. And so to have these friends that are such a high level, it's so rewarding to have my lifestyle just be surrounded by such excellence, such intensity, and being able to match like my personality as well as my work that I've put in thus far.
Yeah, indeed. So I have a question for you. How does a track and field team collectively get pumped up before a meet? I know everyone's doing their own discipline, but do you come together as a collective unit and, you know, just have that like kind of rah-rah spirit to get everyone amped up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely one to have energy, and some people aren't. So it kind of just depends. There's also 70 people on the team, men and women. And so it's kind of like you go to your closest teammates or whatnot. And right before, when someone's in the blocks, when someone's walking up to the ring, whatever discipline they're doing, it's kind of, you know, there's enough of us, 70 of us, you can split up, at least have a couple, five or more people cheering you on, yelling your name. But beforehand, we have meetings and we have our goals, and especially at travel meets in the hotels, we, you know, we're in the team room downstairs or whatever, and our coach usually rouses us up, or he picks someone to give us a little all out, which is like someone who leads a little group cheer, says a few words of encouragement, because all of our disciplines and times of competing are different throughout the next 2 days or so. So yeah, it's usually it's like that throughout all the days of the competition, kind of just here and there, and kind of clinging to the people that you are closest to.
Yeah, great stuff there for sure. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we'll talk to Jenna Galloway, thrower for USC, about her faith life. We'll get to know a different side of this Division I athlete when Blessed to Play returns right after this.
How many times have you heard it said that the church has been weak and ineffective? G.K. Chesterton says the church has been so powerful and effective that it colored even the things that it had not hoped to influence and changed its enemies as well as its friends. It affects everything it touches. It inspires a life-changing love in its friends and a self-destructive hatred in its enemies. Its enemies will do everything to destroy it, and they end up destroying everything except the church. The Catholic Church, says Chesterton, has endured for 2,000 years, and the world within the church has been more lucid, more level-headed, more reasonable in its hopes, more healthy in its instincts, more humorous and cheerful in the face of fate and death than all the world outside.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information.
This is a Messy Family Minute with Mike and Alicia Hernan. It's a myth that there's a perfect way to be a parent. The reality is that every family, every couple, every child is different. But when parents work together, they can figure it out. We have 10 kids of our own, so we know this path is not an easy one.
We used to think that it was our job to make our children into saints. Now we realize that it's their job to make us into saints. This parenting thing is full of dying to self, hardships that are both physical and emotional. Parenting makes you more aware of your sinfulness and weakness more than almost anything else you will ever do.
But this is exactly where God wants us, so he can shower us with his mercy and love. God doesn't love us in spite of our humanity. He loves us because of it.
Parenting is our path to holiness. And as we change and mature, we will be better parents. We may even become saints. To get more advice and encouragement, visit us at messyfamilyproject.org.
Father Benedict Groeschel, Monse Alvarado, Raymond Arroyo.
The leading Catholic voices are on the largest Catholic media network in the world. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Well, Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Jenna Galloway, a very talented athlete competing for USC, the Trojans, on their track and field team. She's a thrower. She throws the hammer, and she talked about some of the discipline itself, how it led her to the Division I level. And she's done quite well. You know, her freshman year, she had a strong first season with the Trojans, competing in 6 outdoor meets, and she had a new PR for herself, and she competed in the Pac-12 championships, which led to a berth in the NCAA preliminary rounds in that event. And she's going to continue on throwing the hammer there in USC, but equally as important to her, if not more so, is her life of faith. And Jen, I know you were raised Catholic, but just give us some background into your formation as a Catholic and how that has transformed you in your athletic life.
Yeah, because my Catholic faith life has been something that's grown tremendously, I would say, in college, in high school as well. But yes, I was raised Catholic, and in high school I was fortunate enough to have a really passionate youth minister, as well as a lot of my friends that would also go to church, very passionate. So having that community, having that, it was just very on fire for the Lord, allowed me to pick it up and just be curious of what you know, Catholicism really is, and what it means to believe. And so, you know, just getting more and more involved and with confirmation retreats and leading, it allowed me to really understand what's going on, and also to, yeah, bring it over to my athletics. It's been a huge thing for me to have that groundedness, to have the centeredness in, to have something to believe in, and to have roots that knowing that my identity is not in not in my performance, and that all the opportunities that I've been given is for a higher purpose. Getting in college, again, there's a lot of different things. And freshman year, especially, you're thrown at with so much. But again, I had my faith, and which has been developing more and more, just this like believing in the Lord and kind of seeing what He's doing and trusting Him and praying it to Him, and it's actually transferred over. I'd say one of the biggest God moments I've had in my athletic and life is probably making Team USA the summer of my freshman year. You know, coming in freshman year, throwing 48 meters and then leaving with 60 meters. That wasn't the plan, but it was like the faith to being able to see something that wasn't there to begin with. And then leaving and being able to compete for Team USA was a whole journey of whether I was going to make the team or not. But just having faith and being able to end up to go visit Lima, Peru, which is actually the hometown of my confirmation state, which was beautiful, and it wasn't also planned. But it was kind of just that faith and knowing that God had all these details planned out. And again, it wasn't, I didn't necessarily do the best that I wanted to do at in Peru. But again, it was just this groundedness and that there's more and there's a higher purpose that I can't necessarily see to begin with, but God has it planned out.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer chatting with Jenna Galloway. She's a thrower for USC track and field team. And you mentioned this trip to Lima, Peru, as when you made Team USA, but your confirmation saint was St. Rose of Lima, which you alluded to. But just talk about why you picked that particular saint to be a part of your confirmation name.
Yeah, well, St. Rose of Lima, actually, I picked her because my middle name was Rose. So that's even more of the crazy coincidence, because I was like, there wasn't much intention behind it to begin with until this trip kind of unfolded. And I've learned more and more about her and just her intensity and her dedication to the Lord. And so it was really cool to kind of find out and know more about her after the fact that I chose her only because of my middle name.
Now, I know when you go off to college that it's good to tap into a community or be amongst those who believe like you believe. And most college campuses have something for Catholics. And I know on the USC campus, there's a Catholic center there. You were part of a teen Bible study. You also were able to start a podcast on faith and athletics as well. But just talk about the resources now that you're at a secular university and, you know, keeping that faith sustained in that environment.
Yeah, definitely. Being in a secular university, it's really hard. And especially as a freshman, there's so many things to be a part of. You definitely got to be connected and plugged in right away. It's a little bit hard or easy to get lost. And so coming in, I was like, I was told this by my high school youth minister, get plugged in. And it was actually being from California and the weird coincidence, not coincidence, of coming to the Catholic Center and just knowing a lot of the people there. The worship director was actually at my high school, was the worship director beforehand, and then knowing some other people there. But there's actually this organization called Focus, who has missionaries sent out to many multiple campuses across the nation. And that was another group that actually was through the Catholic Center as well, that was really easy to get in connection and community with. And it's young people who just graduated college, so it's actually easier to connect with these individuals who are closer to our age and just went through what we went through. And so there's definitely community there. Many events, it's definitely blessed to have what we do, considering not all colleges have that much going on or have that many Bible studies or access to the sacraments of 2 masses a day, 2 hours of adoration, confession a day. And so kind of just, there's so much that you can get plugged into, and they're so welcoming that I can't say that's the same for everywhere you go in terms of colleges. So it's kind of blessed that we have that.
It's a Blessed to Play Collegiate Spotlight Show. We're featuring Jenna Galloway, a thrower for the USC Trojans, their track and field team. Now, Jenna, adversity comes to every athlete. It's a common theme on this show that I talk to them about, because every athlete has to go through a sense of adversity, and sometimes that's a stepping stone to just getting better. But also the faith also plays a part in that, and a lot of trust and a lot of, you know, just believing in yourself and believing, you know, you're here for a reason. But just talk about how you deal with adversity, and has adversity played a major component or factor in becoming a better athlete for you?
Yeah, adversity definitely comes and goes. I feel like when you're in a season of good things, it's hard to remember the bad times, but the bad times really ground you and allow you to know that you will always be back in good times. I think one of the things is having goals as an athlete and not achieving them, but knowing that not achieving them just gives you more fire to keep going. I would say freshman year, there was a lot of ups and downs. Not hitting the marks that I wanted to initially, but then later just hitting exactly what I needed to, and just kind of, and track is weird where you don't have full control of your success in terms of your body has to be in the right circumstances. It's not volleyball where it's a mental game. A lot of it, your physical game doesn't matter as much. Track, I would say, is a lot of physicalness is a big factor. So when that's down, you can't perform like you want to. And so for adversity, I would say, yeah, like, for example, wanting to make Team USA, only the top two of every event at the trials go. I actually ended up getting third place, and it was really difficult for me to deal with. And I didn't until later, about a month and a half later, find out that the girl in second place actually didn't qualify with her mark, and so I was actually able to go. But that was a long month and a half waiting for those news and really just wanting to go to, compete for Team USA, and that wasn't an option. When I did compete in the trials. And so kind of just that faith and that trust that if the right things will come at the right times. But when you're just in the down, just to kind of remember that good times will come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. And now I'm thinking, when you're dealing with, obviously, athletes that come from all over the country, and you're competing against them, some of them are your teammates, how would you define just the spiritual environment amongst being at USC amongst your other fellow competitors and teammates?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a cool opportunity to be an athlete and to be with such intense people, because if we look at the lives of the saints in Catholicism, and you really see how intense they are. And so it's naturally just already the root of the type of people that you're around. And so with that, there's a lot of people that I actually run into that do believe. And so it's beautiful to connect with them. But the people that don't, it's, like I said, easier to reach them because they already know the intensity of the lifestyle that you have to live being an athlete and being such a high level athlete. And so with that being said, when we have our team or track team Bible studies, it's easier to open up in the conversation about kind of just, like I said earlier, about adversity, what you're dealing with, how we bounce back from that, how we, where God comes into this, where, our future and post-track and our identity and where we place ourselves. And so it's really cool to be able to be surrounded by people that already have this mentality of such intensity of just a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Jenna, I only have a few minutes remaining here, but I always like to ask competitive Division I athletes? I know you have to be so disciplined on the athletic side. Obviously, you're in the classroom as well. But what are some of your hobbies? How do you get away from the sport just to chill out and relax? Or what do you do in your downtime with your friends?
Yeah, I mean, I think downtime with my friends, I love baking cookies. I have a cookie recipe memorized. Honestly, baking too, I've kind of explored with different pies for Thanksgiving for my teammates. I actually made them a few, which was really fun. The beach has my heart always. The sunset being on the West Coast, yeah. It's beautiful. Dancing, I took dancing when I was growing up, so if I could ever take dance classes in LA or in other places or just for fun, it really has my heart.
So you mentioned your dad was a USC football player, so do you go to some Trojan games with the fam?
Yeah, growing up, we had season tickets, and so it's kind of been a tradition ever since I was young. And so I've always had a heart for football because of that. So it was really, really passionate. I think I'm passionate as well about.
One of the greatest school songs that you'll hear at a football team is coming from the USC band, for sure. Well, Jenna Galloway has been our guest. Quite an athlete, folks, throwing the hammer for USC track and field team and doing quite well. She'll be entering her sophomore season, competing for the Trojans. We wish her all the best on her goals, aspirations, and also for sharing her life of faith right here on Blessed to Play. Jenna, thanks so much. I do appreciate the time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can like us on Facebook. Hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Jenna Galloway, I'm Ron Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.